Welcome to 2023 and another edition of Sports Look here on CARE Radio. Great to have you along with us this evening. And we want to thank Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store, our great Sport Look sponsors. Gus Counts with me here, Tom Counts. And Gus, the upcoming sports schedule, you can tell that we're in the swing now in early January as full nights of games, including tomorrow night, where we're going to get a look at the Phoenix. Atchison is going to be hosting Highland Park. So that should be a fantastic game up at the Atchison High Gymnasium. You'll hear both here on CARE, ladies game about 6 o'clock and the guys game after that. Saturday, the Benedictine Ravens are going to be back at home. We'll talk about their games last night, but the Ravens will be hosting Grandview. And note the times. They are at 2 and 4 o'clock. Ladies at 2, the guys at 4. Next Tuesday, we'll check in with the Northeast Kansas League as ACCHS hosts Jefferson County North. And then next Wednesday, college basketball Evangel at Benedictine. Want to just start off with some of the high school hoops that are going on around the area. They got underway just a couple of nights ago in the second semester. And I tell you what, we've seen some great games. There have been some very, very good ones go on. And Tuesday nights, in the girls' side first, you had Jackson Heights, who is playing really, really well. They'd get by Valley Falls. It was Oskaloosa over Horton in the game that we had here on CARE Radio. You also saw ACCHS defeating Pleasant Ridge in a conference game. So you look at the Northeast Kansas League, you look at the girls' side. I don't know. I don't see any real surprises here.
Not really. I mean, you start looking up and down it. You kind of knew at the end of last season that ACCHS and Jackson Heights were going to bring back a lot of players from last year's teams, and they're continuing to do what they did last year, right? ACCHS at 5-0. Jackson Heights is 5-0, but they're 4-0 in conference play. Right there is Jefferson County North, 3-2, but they're 3-1 in league play. Morehill Mount Academy hanging right around in fourth, tied with Valley Falls at 3-2. Then you have Oskaloosa 2-3, Pleasant Ridge at 2-4, Horton at 1-5, and the McLeod Ladies, who fell the other night to JCN 41-27. They're looking for their first win of the season. So
with that said, you know, NEKL, there's some really, really good teams, and you can go through that first. Gosh, I even saw Oskaloosa play well. So even the teams who are just below the middle line played some really good basketball.
So now jumping over to games that went on the other night on the guys' side, flying around here, the JCN boys knock off McLeod 52-31. It was Jackson Heights outlasting Valley Falls 45-39. You had Horton knocking off Oskaloosa the other night in guys' play. And ACCHS scoring a lot of points. 72-63 winners over Pleasant Ridge.
So. And you look at those NEKL standings on the boys' side. How about the Horton Chargers? Again, we saw them the other night. They are really good. They are 5-1 in a conference and on top. But right behind them, a half a game out at 4-1, the Ravens at Morehill Mount Academy. You get Oskaloosa and Valley Falls and ACCHS all right behind him at 3-2. Also with only 2 losses, JCN. So there is a huge logjam really at the top because you've got, what, 3-6 teams within 1 game of first place.
Yeah, and you're kind of coming up on that, you know, what I call that middle third of the season, right? We've made it to Christmas break. You've got a chance to kind of make your adjustments, get everybody healthy, put in any kind of new wrinkles that you want for the last portion of the season. But I'm going to tell you, at this point in the year, you look up and you're like, oh, 6 games. You know, there's a lot of basketball to be played, but yet you blink and that thing's going to be over, right? I mean, that's just how fast this portion of the season tends to go.
Looking at the upcoming schedule then for, what, tomorrow night in the NEKL and around the area, you're going to find Jefferson County North at Valley Falls. Jackson Heights will go to McLeod, Horton at MHMA. Here you go. There's the battle of the 2 top teams on the guys' side. Horton at Morehill Mount Academy. Perry LeCompton is going to travel over to Riverside. You'll find Valley Heights at Troy. ACCHS travels down to Oskaloosa. You got to be careful because that can be a trap because Oskaloosa is good enough to beat a lot of people. Jeff West in the Big Seven goes to Nemaha Central. And, of course, we mentioned Highland Park at Atchison. And there's a game we're going to have on K-Radio. Talk about Highland Park and Atchison. We're going to shift leagues for just a minute and talk about that Meadowlark because been a long time since Atchison and Highland Park have gotten together out on the court, and I'm kind of really looking forward to it. Atchison, you don't get a much better start to the season than Coach Battle has got with the Phoenix. They are 1-0 in the conference, a young conference schedule, but they are 5-0 overall right now.
Yeah, you know, being 5-0 right now in that conference, that's saying a lot. You're going to start to see some really good teams, and so for Atchison, it's good to see him continuing to play good, right? Like, so the whole football carryover, right? You played really well in the Meadowlark, and you're continuing to do that so far this year.
And look at the teams Atchison has played. It's not like they've had a schedule of soft teams. You've got wins over Rossville, Tonganoxie, Eudora, Ottawa, and KC Sumner. So, you know, we're talking not only good schools, we're talking big schools. I mean, Atchison has that. In that conference, they play a lot of the larger, the 5s and 6As, of course, not necessarily with Rossville. And Atchison started the season with a big rolling win over Rossville, who, well, like, their football team was probably still in pads for that game.
Yeah, you know, and you beat Eudora by 7, you beat Ottawa by 7, and then you turn around and beat Sumner by 15 right before the break. So, again, your last game was on the 16th, you turn around and you play on the 6th. I know a lot of coaches are like, okay, and we just talked about this is a chance to get healthy, introduce any new wrinkles that you want for the second half of the season. But the other thing you got to watch out for is kind of knocking some of the rust off, right? It's been 3 weeks since you've actually played against other opponents and just trying to keep everybody fresh and ready to go for this run.
Now, and one more thing as we touch on the Phoenix before we take our first break coming up here, but you mentioned we're in segment 2, as you call it, you know, of the season, coming up into tournament week. For Atchison, their tournament week, I'm so intrigued and so interested in because they are going to the Nemaha Central tournament. A lot of people say, you know, I'd like to see Atchison and see how they do against some of the Big Seven competition and how they, you know, how they kind of match up with that. It's going to be really interesting to see how it works for the Phoenix as they play some area teams they don't normally get to play at a conference in which they don't participate. And, you know, you just kind of get a chance to measure yourself a little bit.
They would fit in well. Right? I'm just throwing it.
Geographically,
certainly. Geographically.
Now,
I
size
mean, the
wise.
The footprint, right?
Yeah, size wise, Atchison much bigger than any of the teams, you know, in the Big Seven.
Really? I mean, yeah. Holton's the only one that I just figured would probably be about the same size. So
yeah, maybe.
Know.
They'll be the closest one. And you got guys like Royal Valley, who used to be a 4A, and they have fallen. You got Nemaha, of course, you know, some 2A schools in the mix. Tell you what, so high school basketball is in full gear. We're rolling along with it. And again, we've got lots of high school hoops here on K-Radio beginning tomorrow night. Atchison and the Highland Park Scotties. We're going to take a break. We got so much stuff to talk about. The Sport Look continues in 2023. We'll be back right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look on K-Radio on a Thursday evening. And gosh, last night we're up to the Nolan Gymnasium as Benedictine getting underway with the second part of the season, semester 2. The students not on hand yet, but you know who is on hand? A lot of people from around the community, a lot of family and friends, and you know, some people who have other obligations, you know, that they can't make it to games a lot of times. Here was a chance for them to come up, and they turned out in great numbers and saw a couple of interesting games. In the ladies' game, if you're going to have a tougher opponent than Central Methodist, I don't even know where you're going to find it because CMU is really, really good. They got by Benedictine 69-50 last night, and Central Methodist with a lot of transfers in from a lot of really big programs. Coach Davis is kind of making a living on that right now, and it's working for him.
So before the break, I think we were kind of talking about, you know, and I say before the break, before the Christmas break, we were talking about the men's and the women's conference standings and where the teams were. And we said on the guys' side that nobody's going to win out, right? Like, I just don't think there's a team that goes unscathed in the guys' side. I don't think that's the case in the girls' side. You would know, you've seen every team almost once, and it's hard to believe we're about ready to start the second part of the schedule. But that Central Methodist team is good. They're loaded. I think probably one of the better players on the team, Bochkarova, you know, she had an off night, and you still turn out to win big, right? Like, she only had 11 points. She was 5 of 14 shooting. Couldn't get the three-pointer to fall for her. She was 1 of 5. And that's one of those players that if she's rolling, the team really goes. And so I just think that right now this Central Methodist team probably doesn't get beat this year.
Yeah. Now, you could say Bochkarova had an off night, and that may well be the case. But I'm also going to give a little credit to the Benedictine defense. I think that they did a really good job. They keyed on her. They did a lot of things to make her life hard last night, and it worked for them. So they were able to keep her out. The trouble is, with the depth that a Central Methodist brings, you're not going to keep everybody out. And I'm going to be really candid. Not only Benedictine, I don't think there's a team that I've seen yet in the conference who's got a player who matches up at the five.
Right. I mean, and that's the problem, is you just have too many pieces, right? Like, if you're Central Methodist, okay, Bochkarova, you're going to shut her down. We're going to beat you with Leah Johnson, right? She was 10 of 16 from the floor. She was 4 of 8 from free throws. She only pulled down 21 boards and 24
and,
points.
And you know what she doesn't do? Leave her feet.
See?
I mean, she is long. She's got a great reach. And she will stand flat-footed, reach up there, and literally grab the bottom of the net. I mean, you know, she is pulling down boards, and there is no one in this conference is going to move her.
Yeah, I mean, you had a 24 points, 21 rebounds. 10 of those were offensive rebounds, and you blocked 4 shots. You finished tonight. Here's the stat for me, though, okay? You're talking about a big. You're talking about an aggressive big. 2 fouls.
Yeah.
And that's tough, right? Like, because if you're playing a player like that, you're like, all right, we're going to get her in a foul trouble. She's going to sit a lot of minutes. You don't. I mean,
now, one more thing, and you've got the numbers right in front of you.
She played
her line again, the minutes, because a player her size, okay, and by her size, I mean she is tall and she is solid built. Athletic player, those players don't necessarily go out and put in a ton of minutes. They got to come in and out. They got to get a minute, you know, a little rest. But that didn't feel like to me was the case for her last night.
Played 37 minutes.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I mean, and that's the other thing about Central Methodist is they don't go deep on the bench. They're 7 deep.
Yep.
They'll play 3 others because they feel the need to, right? They played.
Well,
Carter played three minutes. Addie Carter played 3 minutes. Yeah. And Mabruto played 3 minutes. But other than that,
those are the last 3 minutes of the game,
right,
anyway.
And the only reason you probably played 7, you're probably more of a 6-deep team, but you had a girl that ended up with 4 fouls last night, so you had to split some time between Audrey Graham and Natalie. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where Central Methodist, they're a good team, right? I think that sometimes when you go up against a team like that, you're going to have to pick out the way you think you can beat them and try to execute your game plan as well as you can. Now, for the Lady Ravens, how about Aaliyah Raines? I mean, she has really come on this season, and especially as we got closer to Christmas break, picked up here in the second half with a dozen, you know, playing really good for this team right now.
Let me tell you what she's got going for her. She wants it. I mean, she's got a drive, you know, that you can coach a lot of things. You can't coach drive.
Yeah, what do coaches say? You know, she's got that high motor,
yeah,
right? Like, I mean, she's just not going to give up. The ball's in the middle. I can go get that, you know, and she's a fun player to watch.
Yep, no question about it. And so other games that went on last night around the conference, you found Graceland at home, a 10-point win over Peru State. Missouri Valley knocks off Evangel with no problem. Another big win for Grandview's. They get win over Culver Stockton. You saw William Penn beat Mount Mercy. It was just painful. Hmm. And then the close game, Mid-America gets by Park 48-45. That's a low-scoring game, guys.
Whew. So you start looking up and down that, and you're like, all right. I mean, I think the game that jumps out to me is William Penn. I get it, they're good. But are they that much better than Mount Mercy? A 71-34 win in that thing, so.
So with that said, you know, we take a little look at how they're standing up in the conference right now on the ladies' side. Central Methodist, of course, at 7-0 and 13-0. Grandview is 7-1. Clark, Culver, 6-2. Mid-America, 5-2. Evangel, 5-3. And then you draw that line, you know, at 500. Find Graceland, Missouri Valley, Mount Mercy, Benedictine, William Penn, all five of those teams, even at 3-5. Then with one win apiece, Baker Park, Peru.
Yeah, I mean, and talk about the Lady Ravens schedule right now. I mean, right before the break, you got Clark. You start back the second semester with Central Methodist, who's the number four team in the country. Saturday, you've got number two in the conference, Grandview, come into town. Next week, you have Evangel, who is tied with you right in the standings, both at 5-3. So, again, it's a tough start to the second half of the season, but for Coach Folsom, he'll be able to get his ladies to rally around and, you know, keep moving forward in this conference.
Yep, season. And we've got Benedictine at home. Ravens there on Saturday. We'll be back. Sports Hook continues here on K-Radio right after this. Going to talk a little men's college basketball here this evening on K-Radio on Sports Look. And goes to Benedictine guys last night. Tremendous effort for Coach Moody and his team and the BC men. Tell you what, they're finding ways to win. They're continuing to incorporate a lot of these young guys into the system. And I think that Coach Moody, as you heard him in the post game, was very, very proud of his team as they knocked off a good Central Methodist club by 11 last night.
You want a couple of keys to winning games?
Sure. I like that.
Shoot over three-quarters of your – hit over three-quarters of your free throws. Hit 50% from the line, or from behind the arc. Those things are going to go a long ways to help you, right? And that's what the Ravens did last night. 19 of their 75 points came from the free throw line. They went 19 of 25 from the free throw line last night. And then I have to laugh because Braden Belt was 8 of 13 from behind the arc. And missed his only free throw opportunity of the night, right? But as a team, you knocked down 14 three-pointers. You were 50% from behind the arc last night. And for Coach Moody, I think he talked about it in the postgame. You started that game off, the first two trips down the floor for Central Methodist, they knocked in threes. You were down 6-0 two trips in.
Yeah. Now, you talk about hitting all those threes, all right? Let me see how good you are. 8 3-point shots last night, okay? And that's pretty fantastic. That is good enough for third place in most 3-point shots successful in a game for Benedictine. Name off maybe a couple of the top five.
Oh, I mean,
you're going to remember one. You were there.
Weirich's got to be up there. Huppy had that game at Baker.
Very good.
That's got to be up there. I mean, Westerhaus or Moody, possibly.
Okay, let's talk about this. You're right there. Number one, with 11 threes in a game, Matt Westerhaus.
Right.
That's the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two, 9 3-point shots in a game. And I'm going to tell you about this game. This was a great game. Larry Holly was in the north, in the old gym, as William Jewell had come to Atchison. This was a game when nobody knew what was going to happen.
Is that Kirby?
Bill Taflinger.
Taflinger, there you go. Okay.
It was the first ever game with the three-point shot. I mean, they literally had tape on the floor because there were lines. I mean, this was a brand-new thing. Nobody knew how it was going to work. Nobody knew if it was going to fly. Nobody knew if it was going to keep this up, how it was going to affect the game, how it was going to impact the game. After that game, Larry Holloway was like, I don't even know what even to think. Bill Taflinger, 9 3-point shots in that game. Had 27 points on the night.
Mm-hmm.
Could see it like it was yesterday. And yet, you know, that was a momentum changer and a mark that had it not been for Matt Westerhaus in a fabulous night, that mark would still be standing. But it's still good for number two with 9. Also hitting 9, a guy named Matt Westerhaus,
mm-hmm,
against St. Mary's. And then 8 apiece for Drew Huppy and a guy named Matt Westerhaus.
There you go.
So there you have it. And joining some pretty high-quality company 8 last night.
Yeah. I mean, and Ryan, I don't know, he's probably got to have some – I wouldn't say – so if he doesn't have 8s, I'm sure he's had some 5s and 6s because, you know, Ryan liked to let it fly back in the day too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And we're going to – let's go off on a quick tangent while I got the record book pulled up here. Benedictine single season.
How did you find a record book?
Scoring.
Like,
you got to
dig,
man.
Last time I saw one of those –
single season team scoring, because I know you like the scoring. I know you like to get the points.
Mm-hmm.
Highest Benedictine team in average per game. Now, this is phenomenal because this is not how a lot of teams do it today. The highest scoring team for Benedictine, 98.6. That was 91 and 92.
Mm-hmm.
In 92 and 3, they averaged 94. 90-91, they averaged 91. Then they averaged 87 and 86 in years 88, 89, and 89, 90. Head coach for every one of those games?
Foose. Yep.
Mike Sickafoos. It was run-gun basketball. It was a lot of fun in the day. And that's where you have some of these guys, you know, rolling up these kind of numbers. So.
Yeah, and to this day, I love walking into Puckett Fieldhouse and seeing the year where they averaged like 102.3 or something just ridiculous.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at that, and that makes that achievement last night even bigger because you scored 8 threes on a team that doesn't, like some of these teams, look for the three. They're not going down the court just throwing up and firing up a zillion threes tonight. These are threes in a game where, you know, that's not necessarily the plan.
So you attempted 28 three-pointers last night for Benedictine. There's a good chance that Saturday against Grandview, maybe you only attempt 10 in a whole game, right? Like, I mean, that's how this team is. Like, they kind of adjust and adapt and find ways to win and whatever it's going to take to beat their opponent. And that's why, again, over the last 4 or 5 years specifically, this team has been just difficult out because you stop one aspect, something else beats you.
Yeah, and if you're playing a Benedictine, these teams like to score, some of them do, and Grandview coming up Saturday is one of those teams. However, it's Benedictine's defense. I mean, Coach Moody hangs his hat on it, loves his defense. They have been so good. Again, giving up 64 last night. Grandview scores 83 last night in their win over Culver Stockton. So, again, you've got that Raven defense looking to hold a team that's scoring in the 80s. They want to get them down in the middle 60s.
Yeah, I mean, and hats off to Coach being able to do a lot of those things. You break down, Central Methodist had 6 fast break points last night, right? Yeah. I mean, and that frustrates a lot of teams because, again, Central Methodist, we can look real quick and see they play Peru State on Saturday, right? They scored 64 points last night. They're going to score 90 points on Saturday, and that's got to be frustrating for a team to just never be able to get things to fall and only get one shot per possession.
And Peru scored 81 last night. They beat Graceland 81-80. Other games in a conference last night, quickly Grandview. We talked about them winning it over Culver Stockton 83-75 on the road. William Penn scores 97, knocking off Mount Mercy. It was Evangelist 73-60 winner at Missouri Valley, and Mid-America 87 points, defeating Park 87-73.
Games going on around the conference on Saturday. There's 2 games that are going to be early. The 12-2 games will be Clark at Evangel. For them, they're probably hoping this is the last time ever that they don't get like some postseason.
It'll be
game.
Yeah, that's the only thing that'll get in the way.
Baker will be at Mount Mercy in the Hennessy Rec Center. Then the 2-4 games will be Mid-America at Culver, Central Methodist at Peru State, Park at Penn, Missouri Valley at Grayson, and of course the one you'll have here on Care Radio, Grandview, traveling to Atchison to take on the Ravens.
Should be a good one. Should be great fun. Here's the deal. You come up at Saturday afternoon. You know, you're going to be out of there. You come up to the Nolan, watch a game. What do you say? Well, of course, yeah, you got that in the way, too. We'll talk about that. Matter of fact, we'll talk about the only reason that people might not watch the game in the Nolan, but you can always bring that transistor. Anybody got a transistor?
That's about the only thing you'd be able to listen to in the Nolan, right? I mean, like, you're not going to stream it, okay?
Probably not. Hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. Sports continues right after this. We move into the rapid fire segment of Sports Look here on a Thursday evening, and Gus, the Kansas City Chiefs with a big win as they get by the Broncos. Wasn't exactly a steamrolling event, but W's are W's, as they say, and Kansas City gets by the Broncos 27-24. They haven't lost to them, what, since Hank Stram? I don't know. It's been that, feels like it's that long.
Yeah, it's been a minute, right? And the Chiefs have had a lot of wins against the Broncos, but not a lot of points. They struggled to really score. The Broncos have done a great job of slowing them down, but when it's all said and done, the name of the game, right, is how many W's do you have at the end of the day and at the end of the season. Chiefs rack up another one against the Broncos, and Yeah, tough one Saturday.
Yeah, they travel out to Las Vegas, and they're playing in the desert. It's going to be a Saturday game. Do you like the flex to Saturday?
No.
I can't
I mean, I just don't. It's a Saturday. It's a 3:30. There's two games on Saturday. The Chiefs game means only something to the Chiefs. Now, I will tell you the Raiders will be interesting to see how they approach this game, right? Are they flights on Sunday to, you know, like Tahiti or something and figuring more of that? Or 3:30 game, they could be out of Vegas by Saturday night and somewhere else, right? You know, or are they like, here's our chance to really just stick it to Kansas City one time before we go? I don't know. I tend to lean right now more towards that the Raiders are checked out a little bit, especially with the quarterback situation, their coaching situation. I mean, just a lot of weird things and aspects of this team.
Derek Carr's got his Samsonite already packed, and he's not even going to get on the team plane after the game, you know, or to go wherever he goes. He's like, out.
Yeah, instead. Stidham, you know, played okay the other day, but is he really going to be the answer at quarterback? You know, Devontae Adams came to Las Vegas to play with Carr.
Now, they should get a great, great draft pick, right?
Yeah, but still, I mean.
And there's some quarterbacks out there.
Yeah, so for the Raiders, again, it's just been a long season, but yet, again, they're a scary enough team, right? You have Devontae Adams. You have Darren Waller. You've got a guy like Hunter Renfrow. So they've got enough pieces to hurt you, but I just don't think their minds are going to be in it. I also worry, though, where Kansas City's mind is on Saturday.
Kansas City's a 9.5-point favorite and an over-under 52.5, and it's a lot of points, but it's probably going to take a little – there's probably going to be some scoring in that game. Also Saturday – you're going to have a noon game with the Jets at the Dolphins.
That's Sunday.
Let's go back to Saturday. The Saturday Titans at Jaguars game.
Yeah, so that game has so many implications in its own right. The winner of that ball game is going to be the champion of the AFC South and get a home playoff game.
You ever thought that Jacksonville could do that?
No, and I think the problem is a lot of people look at Jacksonville and they're like, all right, they're going to get to the playoffs, they're going to get steamrolled. But what the people aren't paying attention to right now is Trevor Lawrence over the last few weeks has been one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. ETN is running the ball pretty effectively. Who would have ever thought that, right? Like, you run the ball really effectively in the NFL, all of a sudden it helps your quarterback to be really good.
Who knew? Who knew running the ball helps?
And you win a lot of games, and I think right now the Jaguars are going to be a team who will make – I think the Jaguars beat the Titans. I think they get to the playoffs, and I think they might even win their wild card game depending on who it's against because they're a team that's just a little hard to figure out. They run the ball well enough. They throw the ball when they need to, and their defense has been pretty stellar at this point.
And I don't know if you've noticed, but, you know, I'm not a huge Jacksonville fan. However, I have kind of modeled my latest hairdo. I went to my barber the other day. I've got the Trevor Lawrence kind of a hair flow
mm-hmm.
thing going on.
It's looking
pretty good. What do you think?
The flowing lock.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's both of us. We work on that in the off season. Sunday at noon, Patriots at Bills, and you know, there's so many questions. We won't even delve into this floating around, but with the Bills and how their season is going to, you know, go into the last week of the regularly scheduled, I guess I got to say regularly scheduled season, because mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to do about their week 17 game or 16 game.
Yeah, and so let's rewind to Sunday, right?
Uh-huh.
I think I told you that the way I really saw the weekend playing out, that Kansas City would beat Denver, I really thought the Bills would beat the Bengals, but then the Bills would turn around and lose to the Patriots in the last game of the year, just because Belichick's one of those guys who tends to figure things out. And I will tell you, over the last 5 years, how many times has Kansas City gone into the last week and then, like, the one seed somehow messes up, falls, something, and Kansas City ends up at the one seed? I really think that the Bills were not going to beat New England prior to all of the things happening. But again, now you just don't really know. I've heard a lot of things thrown out. Do you just go off of winning percentages and not finish that game? Do you say we have to play that game? And one of the things that I heard yesterday that kind of intrigued me a little bit is that next week would open the playoffs for the NFC. So the NFC wild card would happen, and the AFC would play the Bills-Bengals game. And then the next week, the NFC would have a bye, and the AFC would start their playoffs.
Ooh.
And then we would all catch back up in week 3. interesting enough, might work. I don't know.
Is there a buffer week between the AFC and NFC championship games and the national championship game?
Correct. There
okay.
Is. So that's where you can that kind up. Of, yeah, instead of having the week off, which, yeah. You know.
Yeah. I'd be just happy to get them just back-to-back-to-back weeks myself.
Right. You know, and so, but then you kind of are awarding some of those lesser teams another week to prepare maybe. For maybe an opponent. So it's one of those things where, I don't know, there's no book on it, right? There's no right way of doing it. So
so you do have Ravens at Bengals Sunday at noon also. And the Ravens, you know, they could go in and do some harm.
Yeah, so the Ravens trying to still figure out their whole quarterback position right now. The Ravens have a shot to win their division. By beating the Bengals, they would go to 11-6. The Bengals would fall to 11-5 when that one game would be the problem. And so there's a lot of things to figure out. It's that time of the year where you're starting to look at numbers and start to crunch them and figure them out 18 different ways.
So here's the thing. It's kind of unfortunate for teams that can be 11-win teams and not make the playoffs because you got a terrible division and you got to have a champion that comes in at 500.
Or exactly. You know, I mean, yeah, you look at that Jacksonville, the AFC South, right? Jacksonville 8-8. You got Tennessee at 7-9 and still, like, with a playoff chance. And then you look at divisions like the AFC North, where Cincinnati and Baltimore are both 11-10-win teams. So,
and one of them doesn't go. Maybe.
Yeah, and New England can still get in. They're at 8-8, right? I mean, they could get a game over. Miami is at 8-8. They've still got a feasible shot to get in. But whoever would have thought Miami would just, like, stumble down the stretch.
Not a big NFC guy, but the Giants at Eagles is going to be kind of interesting. The Eagles have shown me that they can lose to anyone at any given point, although they're a 2-touchdown favorite at home with the Giants. And Lions at Packers. The Packers are kind of the, you know, an America favorite team right now as they have pulled themselves up and, you know, marching right along. They're a 4.5-point favorite over a resurgent Lions team. Guess in your lifetime, have you ever known the Lions to be any good?
No.
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 No, you haven't.
I mean, I always liked Barry Sanders, but they were so terrible.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's going to be a fun game when you're in for the Lions-Packers. So, again, it won't be as exciting as last year's Chargers-Raiders game that went to overtime and was just crazy. But I think this could turn out to be an okay game. Green Bay on a 4-game winning streak. The Lions with a win last week, 4 assists. And here we go, right?
NCAA basketball, quickly, number 3, Kansas. Saturday is going to be at West Virginia. K-State will be at number 19, Baylor. Both of those Saturday at 5 o'clock.
You don't hear this from me very often, but I wouldn't be shocked if Kansas loses at West Virginia, right? They always struggle at Morgantown.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Kansas State doesn't win at Baylor. K-State is resurgent.
Yeah, and, you know, Baylor's kind of one of those. They're into the top 25. They've struggled a little bit at times. Then Kansas State's playing really good basketball right now.
Okay, let's say I'm a K-State fan. Let's just say that. We won't be serious, but let's just say that. Am I getting a letter from Bruce saying I told you so? Because, I mean, he walks out, and what's he leaving the larder? A really good, successful team.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good team. Tang has done a good job of coaching them, and, you know, K-State right now is just, they've gelled, they were playing really well together. They beat Texas the other day, and I'm going to just throw, you can't throw that away because they scored so many points against Texas, right? But I'm going to tell you at the end of the season, Texas is not going to be a top 5 team, they're not going to be a top 10 team, because they have too many problems with everything at Texas right now, okay? I mean, from their head football coach to their head basketball coach, there are a lot of problems at the University of Texas to be
figured
out.
And the fact that they're getting ready to jump.
Yeah. But right now, Kansas State is playing really solid basketball. You want to know a way to win a lot of games? Just play solid basketball, right? They're not making the dumb mistakes that they have in the past. And so I think they'll be a tough team to beat. I don't think I'll be surprised at all if they beat Baylor. But I might be a little surprised if they win Tuesday night.
Well, and then Tuesday night, you mentioned that, Oklahoma will travel to Allen Fieldhouse where Kansas continues to win, albeit as close as you could just about do it. And then you've got Oklahoma State at Kansas State. Oklahoma State, I tell you what, I don't care what their record is. They always concern me.
Yeah, they're always good, right? They were up 15 on the Jayhawks at Allen Fieldhouse on Saturday, right? I think they're a really good team. I think they've got a good young coach. So I think Oklahoma State is one of those kind of under-the-radar teams at the moment.
And right now, if you're Alabama's football team, you're saying, I did that last week just to show you that I belonged. I mean, that's kind of what that all boils down to. And when it's said and done, maybe they did. Doesn't matter. They're not there. And TCU is. TCU in the national championship game with Georgia Monday night. I love the fact that they moved to a Monday because that's now an open football night. And I don't know. I think Georgia's so good, but are they 12.5 points better?
Okay, a couple things. I don't know that they're 12.5 points better. I actually think TCU just straight up wins this game.
I would be thrilled with that, by the way.
I honestly also think it's a race to 48. I think that the winner of this game could have 48 points because Georgia's defense, I don't know if you watched any of that game against Ohio State, they gave up a whole lot of plays that were just like throw your hands up in the air and you're like, what were you looking at?
You see 90 points in this game?
Yeah, I really do. I think these two teams are just going to fly up and down the field because TCU's defense gave up a lot of big plays to a really bad Michigan team. And Georgia led another terrible Big Ten school, right? So, yeah. Anyway.
Michigan's coach back next year?
Sure he is, right? You know, you beat Michigan State, or Michigan beat Ohio State, right? Like, they're going to put a statue up. So, it'll be one of those things.
But yeah, Monday night, the national championship football game, it should be interesting.
What you got?
I'm telling you what. My heart goes TCU, but my head says Georgia.
Okay.
There you have it.
There you go.
Hey, talking about games coming up, how about this on the upcoming sports schedule on K-Radio? Tomorrow night, it'll be Atchison in Highland Park. Here on Care Radio, Saturday, Benedictine with Grandview, games at 2 and 4. Next Tuesday, ACCHS and Jefferson County North. And next Wednesday, Benedictine Evangel. Thanks so much to Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petrol Convenience Stores, our fantastic Sports Look sponsors. Till we greet you next time, for Gus Kautz, Tom Kautz. So long, everybody.